EC Pingo, our Ustad is there this beautiful Saturday morning. Let's go to EC Pingo this beautiful morning, the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah, 1444. We welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International. We welcome the listeners of Marka Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And we welcome our beloved, senior, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidhahullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته بارك الله فيكم عرفات جزاك الله خيرا to our technicians brother Junaid Mota and brother Dawood Mota نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Today is the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah 1444. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wala, today we focus on Surah An-Naml, chapter number 27 and verse number 34. So Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam told the queen of Sheba, Bilqis, that she must come and not be arrogant, otherwise there'll be severe consequences. Hence she held a meeting, an emergency consultation with the ministers and cabinet. Initially, they said that we are very powerful and we have expertise in warfare and so forth. But whatever decision she takes, that will be binding on them. Hence, this was her response. Chapter 27, verse 34. Qalat, she said, the queen of Sheba, Bilqis, according to the historians, إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً, the kings and the rulers, when they enter a town, a city, a country, a place, أَفْسَدُوهَا, then normally you will find that they cause mischief and they plunder and loot and rape and what have you. وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهَلِهَا أَذِلَّةَ, and the same kings and their armies normally, what they do, the elite people, the people who belong to the higher strata of society, they disgrace them and humiliate them. وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ, and it seems like they also will do the same. She did not realize that this is a messenger, a prophet of Almighty Allah, selected by Almighty Allah, a messenger of Almighty Allah. You see, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was the month of Ramadan, and it was the 20th of Ramadan, in the 8th year of the Hijrah, and the Master Alayhi Salatu Salam conquered Makkah Mukarramah and surroundings. There was hardly any bloodshed, and the hearts of the people were inclined towards Islam, towards the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجَ, to place. That is, the people entered into the fold of Islam in their droves and their droves. So she was applying the law of qiyas and analogy that maybe that this king, Solomon, will do the same. وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. So rather we put a test to them and see what was the test. Inshallah, that we will discuss on Monday, inshallah. Now for the time being, that let us study and analyze and reflect on the news, views and interviews, and locally, nationally, internationally. The European Union wants Ukraine must explain what they did. Listen to the astronomical figure. That Ukraine must explain what they did with the 70 billion euros that was given to them. So they, I know this much, Their quarter of the money, one third of the money, they pocketed it. That is your Zelensky and so forth. And that's the minimum. And remember that they could not even fight for their people. 90%, 80% of what you are hearing in the mainstream media is a lot of propaganda and so forth. So 70 billion euros were given to them. Russia is inviting the African leaders and they're calling it the African Summit with the Russians. It will be held this week here, coming week, and in St. Petersburg. And they're inviting Cyril CR, you know, Cyril Ramaphosa. They say he will add a lot of value to this. I'm sure he's going to add a lot of value because they must discuss, will Putin come to South Africa or not for the BRICS summit during the month of August. So that is what is going to happen there. Let's go to the apartheid Nazi terrorist regime of Israel. BB is in big problems. So now he gave a diluted judicial overhaul and he made some compromises on certain issues and so forth. But this will not satisfy the right or the left wing. So the people will continue protesting tonight as well for 26 consecutive weeks. That's half the year. And they are fed up with BB and his illegal government. And the curse of Almighty Allah becomes apparent to the whole world. The people think the Jutlas, the Haramis are united. Chapter 59, verse 14. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla states, تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا. You think that they are united. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. And their hearts are totally fragmented and disunited. So that is chapter 59, verse 14. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمُ اللَّهِ يَعْقِلُونَ. Because they are a people who have no intelligence and no intellect. Almighty Allah Jalla Allah has cursed them in various places in the Noble Quran. And you see, his own coalition will not accept this diluted version. One Israeli soldier is caught on video vandalizing the car of the Palestinians and so forth. So that is what they do, remember, because they are the biggest terrorists. They are the biggest haramis. They will come and steal the solar panels and so forth of the Palestinians. They will be ones to come and burn the homes of the Palestinians. They will be the ones to harm the Palestinians in their farms and orchards and so forth. But try and tell the world that we are the victims. Therefore, Golda Meir, the harami, said that we will never forgive the Arabs for killing their children. Can you believe a crazy statement like that? We are like forced to kiss their children. They always want to play the victim. You must remember that. And now there was a report released that the chaotic, as they call it, remember, that is departure of the Americans and their allies, 48 countries defeated by the Taliban, given a good thrashing and a whooping. And remember, they said that must never ever happen in future. But they removed and took away more than 100,000 people of theirs. And the Taliban are back in the driving seat after 20 years. Illegal occupation terrorism by the American regime and its puppets and sidekicks. Now we go to France and two stories. So now they say that when they have football matches and soccer matches, then the women cannot come there with hijab. The point is not the soccer match and all that. The point we are raising here is their hatred for Muslims and Islam. So they say that you can't enter the government office with niqab. You can't come to a soccer match with a hijab or niqab and so forth and so on. So all this continues. And if you see what happened last night, more than 500 people arrested, and mostly Muslims and Arabs and so forth, because they murdered an Algerian person, and the police there apologized, but that apology is not worth the paper on which is written, and this is what they do. Whether it be India, whether it be Palestine, whether it is, you must remember, Israel occupied Palestine, or whether it's France, that is how they treat their minorities, you must remember. But they'll tell the world their democracy. Anyway, that democracy stinks, remember that. Then we see the Wagner Group and Russia. So now the West and America want to cause big divisions amongst them, but they know better, and they will be more and more united. It's all different strategies they use. Obviously, Putin knows that these guys are trying to cause a division between the Wagner Group and Russia and so forth. Saudi Arabia now is exporting the meat, remember, from there to the poor, poor countries, whether it be Yemen and whether it be, you know, Somalia and so forth, because there are thousands and thousands of animals that were sacrificed, and what they're going to do with all that Kurbani meat and so forth. Then we come here, now for you, the Hujjaj Baitillah, the Hajis that are there, remember, you must be very careful about this. Some agents are just out to make a quick buck and get your money, and they're not bothered about whether your Hajj is done the proper manner or all with shortcuts and loopholes and so forth. Because I receive questions direct from Makkah and Mina and here and there and everywhere, so with Allah's help, Allah's mercy, some agents have taken their Hajis and told them that you must perform your Tawafu Ziyarah, and then the Safa Marwa, the two rakat salat, and then the Safa Marwa, and immediately with that, you must perform your Tawaful Wida. But the people haven't completed their pelting and so forth yesterday, today, and so if this thing over. So how can that be correct? Remember, all of you, whether you are Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanafi, Hanbali, and they told you to do that, you must go back to the Baytullah, even if it be at your own expense, and repeat the performance of Tawaful Wida, a farewell Tawaf. The Tawaful Wida is wajib and compulsory, except upon a lady in the menses and so forth. He, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yanfiranna ahadum minkum, that none of you should leave Makkah Mukarrama and so forth and so on, hatta yakuna akhiru ahadi bil bayt, tell that is your last action, and therefore don't look for loopholes and so forth. And these type of agents should be told that they are destroying the real Hajj of the person who spends so many 100, 200, 300, half a million and so forth and so on. When we come to South Africa, then always you will find some crazy stories. So now Paul Matashile, he is the deputy president of South Africa. He is under fire for his excessive, extravagant lifestyle, and it seems that he is denting his chances to become president of South Africa in future, and the DA has lodged a complaint against him with the public protector, and there are many, many other issues, and we all know about the divisions within the ANC themselves, so they are fearing that they will lose the elections next year, 2024. Lose it meaning that the vote for them will go under 50%, and that is what is meant. And if it happens like that, it will be very good for the country. What South Africa needs, I said this from 1994, that you must have a strong opposition, then you will see some action. Otherwise, the majority of these politicians, they will just sit on their laurels, and they will be collecting money, and people in prison also are collecting money. Can you believe that? Or people sitting at home and collecting money and so forth. So how can we allow such a situation? So therefore, these are recipe for South Africa to become a failed state. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We want to thank all the masajid, trustees, imams, ulama, and so forth, wherever we went. And Tuesday night was Spingo Rail. And then Wednesday night was there, Albertsville, Port Shepston. Thursday morning, the Eidgah, wonderful atmosphere. More than 2,000 brothers came, mashallah. And it was very, very good. Allah reward everybody, the ulama, trustees, and so forth, there in Port Shepston. And then was now Thursday night, we were there in Harding. And then Harding is far, and it was cold that night as well. And half the town did not have electricity, and certain parts they had, some transformer blew up. You know, in South Africa, a lot of things are blowing up. And then Friday, Jummah, we were there in Masjid Ikram, Scottsboro. And last night, we were in Mirbank. Wonderful, wonderful. All met Allah, Jalla Wala, accept it. Allah Ta'ala make it a means of hidayat. Reward all the trustees, officials, and all the honorable imams and ulama. And today, inshallah, our program will be after this Q&A, then we will go here to Mu'az bin Jabal, the masjid in Spingo Beach. Jamaat day is 6:10, and then inshallah we'll have a short nasiha. And thereafter, in the morning, I'll go to meet my honorable Ustad, Hafiz Ibrahim Dimalia. And in the afternoon, we'll depart back for home. So may all might Allah accept the Hajj of the Hujjaj, bring all of them back home safely. And may all might Allah take us also safely. So inshallah, the today, from 7 to 9 will be Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan. And then from 6 to 8 tonight will be Brother Suleiman Esop, Wadnat Kirat. And inshallah, that will continue tomorrow. And that will be 2 to 4 with the Q&A with Hafiz Hussain Wadi. And I must thank Hafiz Hussain Wadi. He is the coordinator of all our programs when we come to Durban. May all might Allah Jalla Wala reward him and his family. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen.
I see Kevin says that, AK, your prayer is working. Load shedding is cutting down. Soon we have to start voting again. Kevin, Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kevin, you can't be so naive and so simple. So you must remember, the nearer you come to the voting season, 2024, elections will be held in March or April. Because, you know, April is the ending, the cut-off time, so it will be, the date will be still announced and so forth. So the nearer we come to that, then you will see load shedding will become less and less and so forth. They give you a sweetener. Petrol price will be dropping and so forth and so on. So it shows that if they want to, they can do all these things here. Mm. But remember, it suits them to have the load shedding. It suits them that the petrol price must increase and so forth and so on. Because majority of them are corrupted themselves. And you must know this internal sabotage going on and so forth. So don't get fooled by that. They already fooled the South African public for more than 29 years. Next year will be 30 years. So don't be such a naive person, Kevin. So you must even things out, Kevin. Remember that and balance things out. So my advice will be that people should vote, you must remember, for the opposition. But I cannot say, I told you I'll never vote for these parties. I never voted for them. One is the ANC, one is the DA, and one is EFF. That is my own opinion. And you vote for anybody else, that will be fine. So remember that. Then it will bring, inshallah, more stability to our beloved country, South Africa.
Sister Olivia wants to know, Ustad, that is there a mention of Hitler in the Torah, Ustad?
So you must remember that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has mentioned in the Torah, has mentioned in the divine scriptures, the Quran Sharif, that the Jews, because they murdered the prophets and the messengers, and they corrupted the text, so they will be punished. Names are not mentioned. But remember, the punishment is mentioned, that when anybody violates and rebels and is disobedient against the laws of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, then if you see the Quran Sharif, chapter 7 and verse 167, Almighty Allah says, لَيَبْعَثَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ يَسُومُهُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ. Surely, definitely, Allah will continue punishing them, and this for the jutlas, the haramis, the real terrorists of the world, right till the day of reckoning. I told you, and yesterday or day for yesterday, you know, I received so many messages and I'm traveling, so therefore I can't answer everybody, but tonight, tomorrow, inshallah, we'll try and answer all the questions with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. So somebody sent a clip of Ronald Reagan. You remember Ronald Reagan? So he was a guy, he was a third-class actor, film actor, and he made his way up to the White House president and so forth. He said, no, we must not finish the apartheid regime of South Africa. We must have constructive engagement. I still remember his words, remember that, not worth the paper on which is written. Nevertheless, now he said, it cannot be conclude. I just paraphrase him. He cannot be conclusively proven that there were 6 million Jutlas that were killed and so forth in the Holocaust. Isn't that what I'm telling you? So you must remember that if you read the New York Times of the 30s and 20s and all that, already they were speaking about, before Hitler even came into power, about the 6 million Jews on the verge of starvation and so forth. If you want true facts and figures, then the Palestinians today are 6 million plus, remember, in the diaspora and living in various parts of the world. So there's a whole Holocaust story and 6 million. We're not denying totally the Holocaust. We are rejecting the amount and the quantity of 6 million, and it was one of the biggest lies in history, so that they could go and make more money out of it. And that is how Palestinians have to pay the price for the crimes of the Europeans and Germans and so forth. So that is the sad part of the whole thing.
So, Ustad, what will happen to countries such as Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Hungary, who disobeyed Washington and decided not to take part in sanctioning Russia? Jeremy, Ustad.
So you must remember, once the dollar falls, America falls. You can see already America is not so powerful. The Taliban gives them a good thrashing. The Arab nations realize that they were backing the wrong horse all the time. When we told them, they would not listen because they suffer. You must remember, from the inferiority complex, they, in their hearts and minds, it is embedded that white is right and the West is best. If you take the Arab regimes, all of them basically, they want to follow the American model and so forth and so on. And they think America will help them. Always remember the words of Kissinger. Kissinger is 100 years old now. He said America never has friends. America has interests. They will use you and then they will drop you. How many countries they did that and so on. So the people realize that these guys are only after our money and after our oil. It's not a holy war, it's an oily war. So that is what America is all about, self-interest and so forth. So therefore, you just have to de-dollarize. And that is what we are promoting every day almost. And then remember, America falls, and thereafter Israel falls, and all these Arab tenpot dictators will fall, whether it be Saudi Arabia, whether it be the Pharaoh Day in Egypt, or whether it be the other Arab states, United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Morocco, and all of them, remember, Jordan and so forth. They all are puppet regimes. They don't have real true independence. Any decision they take, they have to look behind their back. What will America say and so forth and so on. So they're not real truly independent countries. These are just puppet regimes. And remember that the Americans siphoned their wealth and their oil.
I've got a new listener. She says, my name is Crystal. Hi, sir. Why does your Holy Bible, the Quran, say, slay the idolaters wherever you find them and take them captives and besiege them and lie in wait for them in every ambush? Sister Crystal, Ustad.
My sister Crystal, thank you. We need to give you some crystal clear advice, my sister. You see, when you just quote a verse out of context and so forth, so then you will find what you are saying and so on. So therefore, to study the noble Quran, we have a law, my sister, and that is that Al-Quran yufassiru ba'du ba'da, that certain verses of the noble Quran, you must read it in conjunction with other verses, then you will get a clear picture of what the Quran Sharif is teaching us. But the way you understood it, it means that the Muslims must just go and catch the non-Muslims, and thereafter, you must remember, they must go and kill them. So you were reading chapter 9, surah number 2, surah Tawbah, chapter 9, and verse number 5. Chapter 9, verse 5. Sister, you must understand what Islam really is. This is Islam. Number one, we present our case. We invite humanity to Islam. Why did you wake up early today, my sister Crystal? Somebody told you, you must wake up 5 o'clock, 5:30 and listen to AK and listen to the program on Ansar or Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and what the man is speaking. We speak to you, give you an explanation of 1, 2, 3 verses of the Noble Quran. We give you and mention the news, views and interviews, which you will not normally hear in the mainstream media. And then we open the floor, and primarily for non-Muslims, so that you can ask whatever question or misunderstanding you have. So we are inviting you towards Islam. That's the first step. Second step is this, then we tell you that if you want to live in our country, but you don't want to embrace Islam, that's fine. Go open chapter 2 and verse 256. 256, verse number, chapter 2, La ikraha fiddin. There is no compulsion in religion. Never will Islam say that we're going to put the sword on your neck or the gun there by your chest and blow you to pieces and you must embrace Islam. No, Islam must be embraced willingly, lovingly, sincerely. So now you stay in our country and you pay a nominal amount. For example, nowadays 500,000 tax for the whole year. And remember, that is your assets, your life, your honor. Everything of yours will be protected by the Muslim government and the Muslim authorities. And if there's a war, then it is the duty of the Muslim army to defend you and the non-Muslims, and you will not be participating in the warfare itself and combat. So that is called the jizya. Third one, now you need to understand, my sister Crystal, take three countries. Number one, let's take for example Israel. Israel invades Palestine 75 years. You steal our land, you murder our children, you detain our men and women and help them without detention, without trial. Now you want to steal our mosque in Masjid Al-Aqsa and you call it Temple Mount. So I'm asking you, Sister Crystal, what would you do in a situation like that? A person comes to your house. Yeah, in Durban, you are in La Lucia, you are in Margate in the South Coast, or you are there in Tongat or wherever. There you must remember in Umslanga in the North Coast. Allah forbid, God forbid, with a big gun and army and tell you get out of this house, we're taking it over and we will negotiate with you regarding the outbuilding. What will you do? So the same thing for 75 years, these haramis, these terrorists, if you don't understand the haramis, it means illegitimate children. These squatters have come to Palestine. So what you expect, if I was there, I know what I will do. So what do you expect the Muslims to do? What do you expect the Palestinians to do? You go to Kashmir, Indian administered Kashmir. They have an army there for 1 million approximately, the Hindus and the idol worshippers and so forth. And the population of Kashmir is 7 million, 8 million. So imagine for every person, that the 8, 9 people, you got one army person, one personnel there, soldier and so forth. We don't say every Jew is a bad person. We never say every Hindu. We're speaking in the context. So what will you do? It will be survival of the Shrooders. It will be a war. So that is what Almighty Allah is speaking about. Not you just go anywhere with your AK-47 and start shooting and so forth. You go, you must remember, to Syria. You go to other countries. Who has stolen our land of the Muslims? Remember that. So you will find the Russians are there in Tartus. So that is suits them for Bashar Assad and suits of the Russians. And the Americans are there and other forces are there siphoning the oil from Syria and so forth and so on. So if somebody comes and say, hey, what are you doing in my country? Why did they get rid of Saddam Hussein? Why did they get rid of Muammar Gaddafi? Because they said America go to hell. This is our oil and we will not sell it in the odds, in the dollar. We will sell it in the currency we want to. And that is why they then liquidated them and they got rid of them. So Crystal, you need to wake up and understand things crystal clear.
She says, thank you, sir, for clearing my thoughts, Crystal. And she says that she's anti-Israel. Ustad.
Very good, my sister. Any person who's anti-Israel, anti-America, anti-injustice, then you belong to our party. Our party is the true party, the Islam party. We stand for justice and truth. It's not a political party. It's a party that will show you the truth of Islam at all times, all places, without apologizing and without compromising.
I see the brother from Margate says that, Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum, is there a sin to deliberately delay Eid till the third day, even though everything was ready for you on the first day, Ustad?
Remember, the brother is confusing certain issues here. The Eid Salat that you will read on the 10th of Zulhijjah, which we did on Thursday. Now you are speaking about the Qurbani, the actual slaughtering, the actual sacrifice. So the actual sacrifice and slaughtering, you got 3 days. So yeah, this year, 1444, 2023, you got Thursday, you got Friday, you got Saturday. So today also you want to sacrifice till before sunset. It's fine. There's no problem. But you want to sacrifice tomorrow, that is now Sunday, the 13th of Zulhijjah in South Africa and some places. So is that permissible or not? Yes, Imam Shafi'i only. He says it's permissible. And for you, the ulama and the students, wherever you are, there's a masterpiece written by Allama Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, Man farada bihi al-Shafi'i, duna ikhwati, al-masailu allati in farada biha al-Shafi'i duna ikhwati. Those masail, fatwas, verdicts where Imam Shafi is one side, is alone, and all the other jurors, scholars on the other side, the Malikis, the Hanafis, and the Hanafis, Hanbalis, and Malikis are one side. So they say that the days of slaughtering finish today and the 12th. Imam Shafi alone on one side, he says no, you can slaughter, sacrifice on the 13th. So maybe that is what you are meaning, and then you slaughter and that. It will not be permissible according to majority scholars if you slaughter tomorrow or tonight after sunset and so forth. But Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, only will say it's permissible. Last question.
I've got Manir Jacko. He says, AK, is Yasser Arafat the Nelson Mandela of the Palestinians? Why or why not? Manir Jacko's dad.
Manir Jacko, yes, the Quran buyer, need the Quran, but the Quran. And thou were the donkeys were. So my answer in Afrikaans to him, I say, Jacko, you're reading too many newspapers, Quran in Afrikaans, they say. I said, he's not reading the Quran, but he's reading the Quran. You see, Quran is Afrikaans for newspaper and so forth. So you must remember that Mandela came and what happened to South Africa. So you all know. So you must remember Yasser Arafat was trying his best and so forth. We don't agree on him on many issues. But one thing at least he did, that he certain points he said, I'll never agree to this point and so forth. So whether it was Mandela, in his mind, he thought he's doing the best. I feel you could have got much more from the apartheid regime of South Africa, the white minority. That is my opinion. He could have twisted their arms much more. But he was, you know, statesman-like and so forth. And you take Yasser Arafat, so you know how much pressure it was on him from the Americans and this one and so forth. So therefore, everybody has to be studied in their own context and so forth. Anyway, we leave it there. I'm going now, inshallah, to read my Sunnat Salat and then to Masjid Mu'az bin Jabal in Spingo Beach and then a short program. And then, inshallah, in the morning, meet my Ustad, Hafiz Ibrahim Limalia, Hafizahullah. And afternoon, we depart, inshallah, Al-Aziz. So make the dua for all the Hujjaj and all of them, wherever they're going to, Allah Ta'ala take them safely. Allah protect the Haramain Sharifain and Majlul Aqsa. Barakallahu feek. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.